A lot has happened in the world of coal mining in the last week or so. The biggest coal company in the U.S., Peabody Energy, emerged from bankruptcy, and the Interior Secretary lifted an Obama-era ban on new coal leases. But what does it all mean for Wyoming's coal future? To figure it out, Wyoming Public Radio's Melody Edwards sat down with Rob Godbey, the director at the Center for Energy Economics and Public Policy at the University of Wyoming.
So in Peabody's case, they made some significant and expensive acquisitions of mines in Australia. Those bonds came due. That met play never really occurred because of the slowdown that's occurred in China, competition, and they really weren't able to service the debt that they had from met coal. And then having the general slowdown in the coal market in the United States only made things worse because their other side of the business, the thermal coal market, didn't generate enough revenue to avoid that. So under that heavy burden of debt, they declared bankruptcy.
You know, you mentioned Australia, that in their press release, they're kind of saying that one of the ways that they were able to emerge from bankruptcy was that they were able to bring down some of the costs in Australia. Do you know kind of what it was that they did? What did they adjust there?
There were several things. So they rationalized some of their assets. That is to say, they downsized some of them. They also used mechanization. And on the other side, there's been kind of a recovery in that market. Basically, they reduced their costs significantly in that area. And that's something that you really have a better chance of doing when you're in bankruptcy, because effectively it's either we make this adjustment or you face the uncertainty of these assets shutting down or being sold off to another owner.
And then last week, the coal ban was lifted. Does this bode well for them being able to expand some of their production here in Wyoming?
Sure. So the moratorium was put in place at a time when the coal markets were obviously down. You know, in Wyoming, there hadn't been coal leases since basically 2012. And so with the coal lease moratorium being lifted, this will allow their company and other companies operating in the Powder River Basin to access coal when they need it or when it makes operational sense in a way they couldn't. But to be honest with you, there's not going to be a rush to the land office to buy those leases because there just really isn't the demand. The slowdown in coal production didn't happen because companies were running out of coal. What they ran out of was customers to buy the coal.
You mentioned that this has also been referred to as the coal pause. When I talked to the BLM last week, that's how they referred to it. And so, you know, I think people didn't realize that the coal moratorium had more than one reason for the Obama administration for implementing it, that it wasn't just an environmental decision, that it also had to do with kind of restructuring the way that we evaluate the fair market values. Can you talk just a little bit about that?
Right. So coal leases occurring on federal land are permission to mine an asset that belongs to everybody in the United States. So it's an asset that we all have an interest in. And the reason that the moratorium went into effect was partly environmental, but really what it was to reassess how we do this federal leasing process in the United States, because there really hadn't been any major changes since the 1980s. And coal leases are different from oil and gas leases, and they're typically not competitive. In oil and gas leases, they open up federal land for leases, and you have a lot of companies typically that are interested in exploring those lands and possibly developing them. And so they compete. And like a normal auction, they bid the price up. And that's how we determine the market price. For coal leases, very often, it's not an open auction in that way where they say, these are lands that we think would be suitable for mining. Typically, it works just the opposite way. A company goes to the BLM and says, we would be interested in mining this land. So for that reason, you typically only get one bidder. And when you only have one bidder in an auction, it's not clear that the price that they bid is going to be the market price. They have every incentive to keep it as low as they can. So that was really just a reconsideration of the entire leasing process and what might work, in addition to including the potential social costs of carbon and whether the royalty should reflect the damage that carbon greenhouse gases may have on society.
And, you know, having lifted the ban, is there any ideas that you can see where we might be able to still restructure this within the framework that we're working with now?
It's unlikely that the royalty rate will change under this administration. I mean, the Trump administration has basically said that that sounds like they're not really considering that. But we could still see potentially some changes in the leasing process. So instead of having an auction, we could have a different process where we end up trying to find a different way of finding that fair market price. And it's still open how that could work.
Any closing thoughts in terms of just where we're at in Wyoming with our coal industry?
So the coal industry is challenged. You know, I think most analysts think that we'll probably see a slight rebound in coal production. We've already hit bottom. That was mainly driven by exceptionally low natural gas prices, which are rising and kind of coming to what people think is going to be a longer-term equilibrium. There's a lot of competition in the market. Natural gas is still relatively low priced. Renewables are an ongoing challenge because they're growing and they're very cost competitive. Many people don't realize that the cheapest type of new generation facility that a utility, for example, could build is a wind power plant. Solar is becoming very competitive. So coal's historic dominance in the electricity market is going to be weakening, but it's not going away anytime soon. And, you know, I've often said that if there ever comes a time when the last coal train leaves the station, it'll probably leave in Wyoming.
Well, thank you very much for taking some time to talk to me about this.
You're welcome.
That was Wyoming Public Radio's Melody Edwards speaking with the director of the Center for Energy Economics and Public Policy, Rob Godbee.